There comes a time in life when everyone needs help with their business. It doesn't matter if you are running a multi-million conglomerate or you are a solopreneur in your photography studio all by yourself. We simply cannot have all the answers that come up in our business on our own, and we need to seek professional advice. We need to seek advice from people who know more than we do. That is where these three experts come into play. Today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about three vital professionals that I believe you need to have on your team who can help you in your business, specifically to keep you out of trouble, and if you get into trouble, how they can help you out of it, and how you can find those people that are the right fit for your business. So if you're just starting out, or if you've never even thought about having some of these people on your team, you are in the right place today for the Focal Points podcast. This is Focal Points, hosted by Dori Howell and brought to you courtesy of Enphoto. Let's go ahead and get started. Many times when we approach our photography business, we believe that we are doing it on our own and that we don't have team members to help us when problems come up. And nothing could be further from the truth. But the fact of the matter is that some of our team members that we have might be just friends or family that we confide in, that we ask for casual feedback from. But others on our team, we actually need to pay to be a part of our team and to help protect us when things might go wrong. And three of those professionals that I believe that everyone needs to have on their team are an insurance professional, a tax expert, or a CPA, and a small business attorney. And specifically, you need all three of these people to be familiar with small creative businesses, and they need to have some sort of familiarity with your business before you actually need them. So, what would an insurance professional do? Well, obviously, they would help protect your business when something goes wrong. So, for example, you are in your studio and a light falls on someone. Well, you might need liability insurance to help cover expenses if they decide to sue you. And the insurance is going to help protect your assets, your family, any of your investments, your business, anything like that when it comes to certain situations and accidents when they happen on your watch, in your business, intentional or unintentional. And we're going to say that everybody works in the very best, most positive way, that nothing is intentional when it comes to bad things that could happen within your business. This also applies, the insurance professional is also going to help protect your equipment. We spend a tremendous amount of money on our equipment. I know that when I travel for a session, I'm carrying no less than probably $20,000 in equipment, and I want that protected. So you can get your gear protected and your insurance professional can help you with that as well. Now, that's the first person you need to have on speed dial. The second person is a tax expert or a CPA. Now, this is someone different than your bookkeeper. I always advocate for outsourcing your bookkeeping, especially when you get to a certain level in business. You should not be in your Excel spreadsheets or in your QuickBooks doing that type of bean counting. Once you get to a certain level, you really should outsource that to someone else. But a bookkeeper, in most instances, is not a licensed certified professional accountant. That certified professional accountant, or CPA, is going to have the one that they can help you with your tax strategy. They can let you know, should you be a sole proprietor or should you be an LLC, or should you go into being a C Corp or something like that. They're going to help you understand and navigate those waters and keep you out of trouble. And the last person that you need to have on speed dial, I believe, is a small business attorney. And you might need one or two depending on what they specialize in. So if you're entering a partnership, you need someone who specializes in partnership. If you are in a sticky tax situation, especially if you're trying to manage estate taxes and things like that, you might need an estate attorney when it comes to those types of things. We all have specializations in our business. So the professionals that we hire on our team have those specializations as well. That doesn't mean a general tax strategist cannot help you with some of the simpler problems that you might, or simpler issues. I shouldn't say problems, simpler situations, like my people in Jamaica, right? They say there's no such problem, there's no problems, it's just situations. So these professionals are here to help you with your situations. And an attorney, a generalist, might be able to help you with some high-level issues when it comes to your business. But as your business grows, as you make more money, as things become a little bit more tricky, you might want to look into hiring a specialist. So for example, we have an attorney for our family, and I have also a contract attorney that I go to, and I also have a estate attorney that I go to. All three of those attorneys specialize in different things for my family. And I'll talk about why specialization, I believe, is important later in the podcast. But in a nutshell, those are the three people that I believe you need to have on speed dial when it comes to your business. And it's so important that you have these people available to you and a connection with these people before you get into problems. Facebook groups and photographers should not be used as insurance professionals, tax experts, or legal help. And we see these questions in groups all the time. Oh, I got into a situation, or I have this contract and my client broke this contract. What do I do? There are very, very few photographers who are also CPAs or licensed attorneys, or have even passed their insurance licensing tests. Now, I actually have passed my insurance licensing tests. I was an insurance professional before I became a photographer, and I had my insurance license for almost two decades. I recently let it go, but to say that I know a little bit more about insurance than most people in Facebook groups is true. But since I'm not an insured licensed professional anymore, I usually do not enter those conversations. But I see an incredible amount of bad advice being handed out to people. And just like attorneys have specializations, insurance people have specializations too. I was a specialist in employee benefits, HR issues, right? So when it comes to talking about hiring, firing, letting people go, paying people and those types of things, I absolutely know what I'm talking about, but I would never ever talk to someone and advise them on liability insurance because that was not my specialty. So that's a little bit my background and why I feel that this is important. So you need to have these people available to you and a relationship with them before you get into any problems. So then, especially with my coaching clients, they always ask, well, Dori, that's really great, but how do I find these people? How do I know I can trust them? And if I do find them, what questions do I ask? And those are three great questions, and we're going to get into that after this break from InPhoto. In a world full of keepsakes, your client's photo book is a treasure chest of memories. From the classic of InPhoto's Photo Book Pro to the accessibility of the Photo Book Basic, InPhoto has a canvas for every client's story. Each book is handcrafted with care and ready to be personalized to their heart's content. No matter what book you choose for your client, watch as your artwork weaves the story that is uniquely theirs. And with InPhoto's range of photo books, their story is in your hands. Now, don't miss getting the best sample discount in the industry. If you head over to focalpointspodcast.com, you can get a 75% off sample of one of these InPhoto books, which is incredible. I promise you, if you order one of these, you absolutely won't be disappointed. So I asked the question before the break, and I said, how do you find these trusted professionals? What can you do to make sure that the people that you hire or the people that you seek advice from are actually good at what they do? Well, just like in life with all of our businesses, anytime we need professional help, the first place I start, and it's not necessarily the best place, but the first place I start is I ask my trusted friends and family. So these would be people that are maybe running their own businesses, who are entrepreneurs, who have maybe had some legal issues or insurance questions in the past. I know they've gone to someone, but I don't know who they've gone to. So I want to find out, who do they deal with on a regular basis? Who do they trust? Who do I stay away from? That's another thing too. And you might even get a little bit more of that, of who to stay away from than who you should go to. And that's okay. It's all valuable information to help you make your decision, right? Then I would say, well, you know, Uncle Joe started his trucking business and he only had one truck. It was really small. And now he owns one of the biggest trucking companies in the country. I bet he has some really good business resources. He runs a successful company and he's done very, very well. We all know we don't run our businesses by ourselves. Every business owner gets advice from outside sources. And it seems like he's gotten some really good advice because he's doing very, very well. You know, put his kids through college, owns a beautiful home, maybe a vacation home, that type of thing. Who does Uncle Joe talk to? And the thing about Uncle Joe with his big, successful business is he might even have people on his staff he probably does have lawyers on his staff. He probably does have tax specialists on his staff because he has surrounded himself with people to help keep him out of trouble and make sure that he can make as much money as possible and do it within the confines of the law, right? So who does Uncle Joe use? Now, you may not be able to use his people on staff, but they might have friends elsewhere in the community to refer you to. So talk to Uncle Joe, but don't talk to Aunt Judy, who has run failed business after failed business after failed business, to find out who she's going to for help, because they haven't helped her. So choose your friends and family who you ask for advice from and for referrals from very, very carefully. You want to know who they call on for professional help and who they would recommend. So like I said earlier, Uncle Joe's on-site employed accountant may not be the person that will come to help you, but they know people, just like we all know people. So I know I don't do boudoir photography and I don't do wedding photography, but if someone calls me for that type of service, I have friends in the industry that I can refer them out to. So that's really, really great. And I like to do that. So you know who you want to ask from, you know, you're going to get these people. So what kinds of questions do you ask them when you finally get them on the phone, you go in contact with them, okay? So let me back up a little bit. You can also go to where, you've heard me say this a million times, let me see if we can all say it together, your local chamber of commerce, right? Local chamber of commerce. You can go to them because I promise you they have tax specialists, they have attorneys, they have insurance professionals, and they also have recommendations available for you. Your Chamber of Commerce is such a wealth of information for many, many things. So if you have one in your area, which most towns are going to have a Chamber of Commerce, seek them out to help you win your business. So when I want to get to know these people so that I can have a relationship with them, when and if I need it, what questions do I ask? I need to know, how do I develop a rapport with them? But are they the right person for helping me with my business? Here are some questions that might help you out. Ask them, do they have experience with your particular niche? Now, it doesn't have to be your niche of photography, but do they have experience with small creative businesses, solopreneurs, small LLCs, right? Do they have that experience? Number two, how do they further their education? So they might have experience with small businesses, but if they're not specializing in this, it could be that the education that they're seeking when it comes time to renew for their continuing education credits, because all certifications have that. Insurance had this. I know CPAs have this, and I'm sure that the legal field has this as well. For them to keep up their license, they have to continue educating themselves. And they have a choice of where they get that education. So what are they choosing to educate themselves in? Is it, so you go to your attorney, and are they doing all their continuing education in criminal law? Which hopefully that never ever applies to you, and you never need a criminal defense attorney or someone who specializes in criminal law. But are they getting their continuing education information when it comes to small business issues that you might face? Okay. The third question I would ask is, who am I going to work for if I hire them? If you go to a larger firm, a larger CPA firm, or a larger attorney firm, who is going to actually be helping you and working on your case? There's a really, really good chance that the named person that you're going to speak with is not actually going to do the work on your case. So I like to know, hey, who are my contacts? Who's actually has their hands in my case and working my case and is going to know it best? It's not most likely in most cases going to be the attorney. It's going to be his staff. And I like to know who those people are. And that's a completely realistic question to ask them. What can I expect as far as timelines, as far as returning phone calls and emails and answering questions? I want to know what their standard return time is. Is it 24 hours? Is it same business day? Is it 5 business days? The reason why it's important is because when I call them next time after I develop a relationship with them, I'm probably going to need help and I'm going to want answers right away. So I want to know, what is the expectation as far as me hearing back from you when I send off a request or I leave a voicemail message? I consider 24 to 48 hours an acceptable response time unless it's an emergency. I don't consider 5 days an acceptable response time. I don't think many professionals would, but if that's the average time that you're legal team or your attorney or your insurance professional is taking time to get back to you, you might want to look into finding someone who has a little bit either more time for you or is going to put you and rate your business as being a little bit more important in their eyes. Now, this next question is super, super important. And I've been caught by surprise with this. And so it's never happened again. I want to know, what is their fee schedule? What will I be expected to pay for an hour-long phone call, for an email after hours, all those different things? And I was in a situation once where I was meeting with an attorney to go over some contracts. And for some reason, I don't know how this happened, I thought for some reason their fee was $100 an hour. Now, let me put this in perspective. They worked in a beautiful, beautiful high-rise office building right outside of Washington, D.C. There was nothing about their website, their presentation, their offices, anything like that. You know, they had the valet parking, the whole bit, that would justify $100 an hour price tag. Like, they wouldn't even be able to pay their rent if they charged their clients $100 an hour. But for some reason, I'm like, oh, $100 an hour, that's not a big deal. And it's kind of like the same thing when we're working on our websites, we're providing beautiful imagery, and we say that our rate for the services that our client wants is, say, a couple thousand dollars. And they say, oh, I thought this would be $300. Like, there's nothing about what you're projecting to that client that indicates a low budget operation. The same with that attorney. But for some reason, I just got it in my head that that's what it was. It wasn't meant to offend them. I just had that idea, right? So we're sitting in the conference room, we're having this conversation, and she's talking about future work that we've agreed upon that needs to get done. And I just said, I just want to ask a question so that there's no surprises on the back end. Your rate is $100 an hour, correct? And she was so gracious about this. She said, no. I'm glad you asked that question, but my rate is actually $450 an hour for our team to do this work. And I took a breath and I swallowed and I said, okay, I'm so glad we clarified this. Let's move on. And in an instant, I realized what an idiot I looked like thinking that it would ever cost $100 an hour for her services. I mean, this was an Ivy League educated, multi-credentialed attorney. There was nothing about her that said $100 an hour, which is extremely cheap in our area for legal services. But I just had it in my mind. So a couple lessons learned there. Don't assume the price. And when your clients come back and think that something's going to be real expensive, don't assume that they're not going to pay it. Maybe they're just clarifying the rate for it. Because I was willing to pay her, obviously, over four times more than what I thought the price was, because I valued what she was bringing to the table and how she was going to protect me. But I just kind of looked like an idiot at that point in time. And she was so gracious about it, but we clarified that. So you need to know their fee schedule so there's no surprises. And the last thing I want to know, and this isn't a required question, obviously, but the last thing I want to know from the people that I'm going to hire is what other services do they provide, or what other services does their firm provide? There might be ways that your insurance professional can protect your business beyond simple liability insurance. There might be ways that your CPA can say, hey, we're doing your taxes now, but I can see that maybe with some strategic changes, we could save you more in taxes. So I have a member on my team that I think would be a good idea for you to meet with. Meet with that person, right? Your legal team might say, hey, we have this, but did you also know someone in our firm does estate planning? Is your will set up? Are your trusts set up? That type of thing. People in general, I find, are so bad. And we are like this too in our business. So take this lesson. We are so bad about letting our clients know every way that we can help them. So I have a lot of different skill sets that I have. I call myself a multi-talented entrepreneur. I can help people with business in many different ways. And I was doing a photo session for a client one day, and we were just speaking back and forth, and I was talking to her about this podcast. And I said, yeah, I've started two podcasts now, and I really enjoy it, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, you have a podcast? I said, yeah, I do. And she listened to a few episodes, and she came back to me, and she said, Dory, I really love what you're doing with your podcast. Can you help me get a podcast started? And I thought to myself, yeah, I can help anybody get a podcast started. I have a pretty good system in place. I know what I'm doing. I know all the equipment that you need. I know a producer you can call. I know the steps. I know how to do trailers and commercials and all those different things around a podcast. Why can't I sell my services as a podcast coach to this client of mine? And that's exactly what I did. Within 24 hours, I had a proposal on her desk saying, this is what it would cost for me to help you with your podcast. These are the things that you will need to pay for additionally. This would be the scope of my services, how many times we would meet, and we could get you going in a great direction. And that included everything for assistance with artwork, production costs, scripting, storylining, all the different things that I do naturally here. But until someone asked me about it, I didn't realize like, oh yeah, I could help somebody do that. I could be a podcast coach. And that is the same that's going to happen with some of these other professionals that you deal with. They can have specialties in many other places. So I always ask, I say, hey, do you offer any other services in your office that you could see benefiting me as a small business? That doesn't mean I have to say yes or sign up to do those things, but at least I have a greater understanding of the resources available out there for me as a small business. And it also helps me when someone calls me or I'm talking to a client and they're saying they have a struggle in business. And I can say, you know what? I know someone who might be able to help you with this. Give them a call. And it makes me more of a connector and it makes me more valuable in my community as a small business owner. So what I'm hoping with all this information is that you can see we do not run our businesses by ourselves. At certain points in every business, you are going to need to call upon these three professionals: insurance professional, a tax expert or a certified professional accountant, and an attorney. We all need help in these areas, and us trying to do it yourself and try and get information and form, submit legal forms and all those types of things. Us trying to do it ourselves, you know, the DIY way of doing things is not going to help our business in the long run. Sometimes you're going to have to pick up the phone, call someone and actually pay for professional legal and insurance advice. And that's okay. That's part of running a business. But now you have a better idea of who you need to have on speed dial and also how you find those people and those conversations that you have. Now, of course, I have a handout that goes with this that will be on this podcast episode page. If you go to focalpointspodcast.com, you'll be able to see this. You'll be able to download this form that has all these talking points on it. And it will really help you understand why you need these people, what questions to ask, and where to find them. So be sure and check out focalpointspodcast.com. And while you're there, if you have a great story, a great strategy, or anything like that the photographers would benefit from, please submit your name to come on as a guest. I love my guest episodes, and it's one of those things that is just, I love learning about people, and I love sharing their stories. And if you have a great story to tell, I would love to hear it, and I know my audience would as well. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Focal Points Podcast. Thank you for being here. If you like what you hear, go ahead and shoot a 5-star review over on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. I would appreciate that so much. Have a great week, and we will see you next time on the Focal Points Podcast, brought to you by Enphoto. Thank you for listening. This has been Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we will see you next time.